Hey, for the first time in a long time, a new episode is being released on my birthday. So to celebrate, I'd like to give you a gift. I'm giving away my book, How to Write a Book. If you've thought about writing a book, this will show you the exact 11-step process I've used to write my books. Download How to Write a Book at kdv.co/write. I'll set this link to expire at the end of the month, so do grab it now. That's kdv.co/write. W-R-I-T-E. On to the show. Writing a tweet is a microcosm of writing a whole book. If you think deeply and carefully about every word in a tweet and what the tweet as a whole communicates, you can extend those skills to all your writing. In this episode, I'll break down how to think about every word in a tweet, nearly tripling its performance. This is Love Your Work, and I'm David Cataby. The tweet we'll work on came to me like most tweets do, a thought that popped into my head. It was this: ironically, strong opinions are the ones that are easily argued against. I could have just tweeted that, but I've made a habit of instead writing down my first impression tweets in a scratch file and later working on them before publishing. Here's what my thought process looks like. As a tweet, this phrase is a little wordy and weak. It starts somewhat nonsensically with an adverb. Ironically, strong opinions are the ones that are easily argued against. What action is being performed ironically? There are also some extra words that could be cut out. Do we have to refer to strong opinions again by using the word ones, the ones that are easily argued against? The word that is often not necessary, and it doesn't seem necessary here, that are easily argued against. So if we cut out all those extra words, we end up with strong opinions are easily argued against. That's shorter, it's more elegant, it's more economic, but now it's weaker. It's a simple statement of fact without presenting what's remarkable about that fact or how anyone should feel about it. At least when it said ironically, it pointed out the irony that strong opinions are those that are easily argued against. Also, since I've removed the second reference to strong opinions by removing the word ones, the statement no longer pits strong opinions against other types of opinions. Before, when I said strong opinions are the ones that are easily argued against, I was implying the existence of opinions that weren't strong and describing what was different about opinions that were. Our shortened statement is also in the passive voice, which makes it weaker. Strong opinions are easily argued against. By whom? Who is doing the arguing? It would be more direct to say, it's easier to argue against strong opinions. But still, this statement doesn't pit strong opinions against other types of opinions. Fixing that, we could instead say, of all opinions, strong ones are easiest to argue against. Finally, I think we at least have an improvement over the original. Ironically, strong opinions are the ones that are easily argued against. It's more direct to say, of all opinions, strong ones are easiest to argue against, and pits strong opinions against opinions at large. It also has the important quality in tweet format of delivering the most surprising or ironic thing about the statement at the end, easiest to argue against. There's a bit of misdirection in this statement. Of all opinions, strong ones are the easiest to argue against. We've addressed all opinions, homed in on the strong ones, which primes you to expect them to be lauded in some way. Instead, the statement points out the irony that what makes an opinion strong is that it's easy to argue against. But this tweet is still not ready. The most glaring problem is nowhere in the tweet is the term strong opinions, and as a tweet, that's where its potential lies. Strong opinions is a term in the parlance of some sections of Twitter. The term became popular after Mark Andreessen appeared on Tim Ferriss's podcast, where he advocated for strong opinions weakly held. By trying to be economical with words in our tweet, we've broken apart this term. In our latest iteration, of all opinions, strong ones are easiest to argue against. It's simply referred to as strong ones. Depending upon how prevalent the term strong opinions is in the minds of our audience members, we could stick with that more subtle hint, just calling them strong ones. Sometimes that's more effective. In my experience on Twitter, you have to bash people over the head with what you're saying to cut through the noise. So we could instead say, of all opinions, strong opinions are easiest to argue against. We've replaced strong ones with strong opinions. It's less economical, but includes the term strong opinions, pits them against opinions at large, and delivers the counterintuitive element at the end, like the punchline of a joke. This is probably as economically as we can write this, meeting that criteria. But it's still not ready. Now it's not clear from this observation how the author wants us to feel about strong opinions. It's, ironically, not a strong opinion. Is the upshot that you shouldn't hold strong opinions? Is it that when you hold strong opinions, you have to be comfortable with the fact they are easy to argue against? What makes an opinion strong anyway? Is it the force with which you express the opinion? If so, the statement, strong opinions weakly held, would mean you express the opinion with force, but are quick to change it if presented with contrary evidence. Or maybe it means that you should take decisive action on your opinions, and if that action presents you with contrary evidence, you should change your opinion and act accordingly. Now we're starting to get to what I, as an author, really think, which is like an excavation to discover, where did this idea come from in the first place? My personal opinion is that to hold a strong opinion, you kind of have to be faking. There are few things any of us are qualified to have opinions about. Having a strong opinion is a very hedgehog way of being, and hedgehogs are scientifically proven to be wrong. Yet if you express your honest opinion, which is to be more like a fox than a hedgehog, you're essentially expressing no opinion at all. Instead, you're exploring thoughts around a potential opinion. Given the mechanics of media today, few who see what you have to say when expressing your fox-like opinion will interact with it. And because few will interact with it, fewer will see it. So in a way, to be fox-like in media is doing oneself a disservice. Your message doesn't get seen, and since nobody can disagree with your non-opinion, you learn less. It's beneficial to masquerade as a hedgehog on social media, but be a fox in your private intellectual life. It's at this point in revising a tweet where I often step back and write plainly the subtext of what I'm trying to say. One angle is, in your pursuit of learning, you have to pretend to have strong opinions because strong opinions are the easiest to argue against, which helps you collect information. Another angle is that when you express a strong opinion, be ready to be disagreed with because strong opinions are by definition the easiest to argue against. So now I have two potential angles. One, you should pretend to have an opinion. Two, when you express your opinion, be ready for criticism. Since this is a tweet, the subtext of the tweet is very important. Because of the social mechanics of Twitter, people will not like or retweet something that makes them look bad. The you should pretend to have an opinion angle is weak because to retweet something that espouses being inauthentic is to admit to being inauthentic, and that's socially repugnant, even if our angle does have merit. Also important, it's not socially repugnant enough to get people to argue, which would be another way of driving engagement. The when you express your opinion, be ready for criticism angle is somewhat stronger. It would be a small flex to like or retweet this because it would show that you're a person resilient enough to expose yourself to criticism, a quality which has social clout in some circles. Moving forward with that best angle, when you express your opinion, be ready for criticism. In the clearest way possible, we could say, when you share strong opinions, you will be criticized, because strong opinions, by definition, are the easiest opinions to disagree with. Besides the fact it's much longer, there's something weak about this tweet. I think it's that it makes strong opinions not look good. Why have them if they're so easy to disagree with? As someone with a fox cognitive style, to me it doesn't feel right. So ultimately, it seems, I believe, a third angle. Strong opinions aren't good. If we put that simply, we're back to, of all opinions, strong opinions are the easiest to argue against. That still doesn't express clearly how I feel about strong opinions. It's just a statement of fact. Maybe we can make this more economical while also expressing more clearly my feelings about strong opinions if we use a rhetorical form. Rhetorical forms are time-tested structures in language that add meaning beyond the simple content of the words. Antithesis is a good rhetorical form for tweets. Mark Forsyth in The Elements of Eloquence, which I talked about on episode 278, describes antithesis as X is Y and not X is not Y. We won't use that exact formula, which would essentially be strong opinions are easy to argue against and weak opinions are hard to argue against. Instead, let's pit the word strong against its antithesis, weak, which is part of why the phrase strong opinions, weakly held, is so mimetic. As it happens, the idea of a weak argument is a commonly used metaphor, so we can add extra power to our phrase by tapping into that existing idiom. With those elements in mind, we end up with strong opinions are weak arguments. That's about as good as we can do. We have reduced the phrase from 11 words to only 5. It's now clearer what I think of strong opinions, and it presents the irony I wanted to point out in the first place. So, how did this tweet do? I published it, making sure to record a prediction that I was 70% sure it would get fewer than 1,500 impressions. It actually got 1,081. 1 month later, I published the unedited tweet I presented at the beginning of this episode. I was 70% sure it would get fewer than 1,000 impressions. It got 384. So the data suggests that through all that excruciating detail, more than 1,500 words about writing only 5, I nearly tripled the performance of this tweet. The tweet still didn't go viral, which isn't the point of thinking of language in this level of detail. The real point of this exercise is that if you make a habit of thinking carefully about language, you internalize much of this process, which makes all your writing better.
Love Your Work is brought to you exclusively by our Patreon supporters, including top supporters Jeffrey Mason and Bob Rosen.
The theme music for Love Your Work is At Sea by Durena from the album About Everything and More by arrangement with Deep Elm Records at deepelm.com. Love Your Work is a production of Katabi, Inc.